We're studying in the study of the Ten Sefirot, Volume 1, Part 4. In Inner Observation, we are in Chapter 2, Item 9.
The Inner Observation in Part 4 in the study of the Ten Sefirot. This is a very, very important part. It has a lot of details in the inner observations. A few types of Or Chozer, Or Yashar, and the Rashimot, and all sorts of such things. A lot of details. But it's worthwhile for us to read them. Also, Rabash would really put pressure on this for us to learn this and read this. Of course, we forget most of these things until we, in practice, bump into them, encounter them. But this is important. Let's nonetheless read this and hear how many details there are here in each and every phenomena. In each and every spiritual phenomena.
Item 9. There are two kinds of reflected light, inner light and surrounding light. A great difference between Chochmah and Bina, Tiferet and Malchut, of the inner light. The above two kinds of reflected light are considered the inner light and the surrounding light of the ten sefirot of the Rosh. It is so because that reflected light, clothing the ten sefirot of direct light, is a very small part of all the reflected light that is rejected back, as it is but an outcome and correlation of the vessel of Malchut and the rejected light. You already know that there are four phases of direct light, one above the other, which are called Chochmah, Bina, Seranpin, and Malchut, and the Keter is their root. The differences between them are indeed great and very vast. Hence, the outcome born from the correlation of the rejected light with the phase of Malchut is not like the outcome born from the correlation between the rejected light and the phase of Zeranpin, let alone with the phases above Zeranpin.
Kiev 1.
Да. Киев 1.
Тут сразу вопрос возникает. Вот он здесь пишет, что два вида отраженного света и это.
A question rises here that there are two forms of reflected light, and it's the surrounding light and the internal light in the Rosh. What does that mean?
In a bit we'll learn about how many lights there are within a partsuf. It's not just one direct one and a reflected one and one surrounding one and inner one. There are a lot of different lights. Soon, in a little bit, just a little bit more patience, and you'll see how much there are.
But why does he call it reflected light, those two lights?
Which ones?
Here, even in the heading of this title, that there are two kinds of reflected light, inner light and surrounding light. After all, these two different things, inner light and surrounding light.
But from the rejection of the light through the masach, through the screen, then you have a light that includes the Or Yashar in the partsuf, which is called the Or Pnimi, and then there's the light around it, which cannot receive the light, and that's why it's outside of it, which is why it's called the Or Makif.
Okay. Hadera 1.
Hadera 1.
Is it talking here about the light that's rejected from the screen and that is rejected from the tabu?
Yes.
Otiot.
Item
10. Naran Chai are born and emerge from the correlation between the rejected reflected light and Kachab Tum of direct light. Now you can understand the birth of the five lights called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. The outcome of the correlation of the reflected light with the phase of Malchut is called the light of Nefesh. The outcome of the correlation between the reflected light and the phase of Ziranpin is called the light of Ruach. The outcome of the correlation between the reflected light and the phase of Bina is called the light of Neshama. And the outcome of the reflected light with the phase of Chochmah is called the light of Chaya. And the outcome of the reflected light and the phase of Keter is called the light of Yechida.
Okay, but this is clear for us. We learned this, that there are five lights, and since in the Masach there are 5 degrees of Aviyut, then we get from this 5 lights in return, the 5 lights, reflected lights. Continuing, item 11.
Item 11. If the clothing reflected light is a result of the correlation between the rejected reflected light and Malchut, it is considered the light of Nefesh. Now, the clothing reflected light over the 10 Sfirot of direct light was an outcome of the reflected light with the phase of Malchut. Hence, the light that is drawn into these 10 Sfirot is called the light of Nefesh. It is discerned as inner light of these 10 Sfirot, and the general rejected reflected light is the surrounding light of these 10 Sfirot. Thus, we have explained 2 kinds of reflected light.
The surrounding and the inner light. It's clear.
What your bed?
Okay, item 12.
The third reflected light is that which is clothed in Malchut of the Rosh, which is the origin and the Keter for both the 10 Sfirot of reflected light in the Rosh and the 10 Sfirot in the Guf. The third kind of reflected light is the reflected light that remains permanently present in Malchut of the Rosh as the origin and the emanator of all the lights and the vessels in the Guf. You have nothing in the Guf that is not extended from the origin, since Malchut, with the amount of reflected light that she raises, clothes all the lights of Rosh. She is therefore regarded as the phase of Keter and a root for both the lights of the Rosh and the lights of the Guf. There is no hold at all of the light without a vessel, and since she begets the reflected light that clothes the lights, she is also regarded as begetting the lights themselves.
Ken.
Yes. Where are we?
We finished item 12.
Item 12. Okay. Yeah.
No.
Well, Please.
The fourth reflected light expands from the peh to the tabul, becoming vessels over the direct light, though incomplete. The fourth kind is reflected light that expands the vessel of Malchut to ten Sfirot from her and within her, from above downward, called from Peh to Tabu. Because Malchut of Rosh is called Peh, and the Malchut of the Guf, which is the tenth Sfira of Malchut of the Rosh, is called Tabu. Indeed, this reflected light becomes actual vessels over the ten sfirot of direct light that descend inside it from above downward. This is why these ten sfirot are called the guf of the partzuf. Although they do not seem as such because of the great importance of the coarseness in it.
Kiev.
Kiev.
Yes, dear Rav.
What expands from Malchut to Tabu?
She receives her vessels. They were previously restricted. There was just the Rosh. And now it starts to expand its vessels, meaning it can allow itself, according to the screen in it, to receive in order to bestow a part of the light that's in the Rosh and also into the Toch. Within the Kli, within the desire. And this is what it does.
Who does she receive this force from? From above, from the Creator?
I don't understand.
How does she receive the force to do this? From where? From the restriction and all of a sudden?
From the upper light, from the upper light that is above it. If she decides that she wants to go receive in order to bestow, it can receive. She can receive strength from the upper light, and then she expands and enters more of her desires that were restricted, and now you can use them in order to bestow. Let's say that I'm sitting in front of the host and feel I can receive up to this point and not more. And this is how it was. And now let's say I can receive more. Why? Because I saw the host. I recognized how much he wants to do this in order to bestow to me. And out of this, I also got a desire to bestow to him in return. So now I can receive in order to bestow from the Peh to the Tabur. Try it out. Try to depict, and you'll see this how it works.
But in this example, it evokes the host. He doesn't just give something from him. He also has to give her forces to do it.
The force, the guest gets the strength. The studying the host, how much he wants for his benefit, how much he loves him and prepared it for him. And out of this, he has the strength to receive in order to bestow.
Moscow 5.
Moscow 5.
Доброе утро. Как связан Орпнеми?
Good morning. What's the connection between the inner light and the reflected light in this current definition?
The inner light is what remains in the Partsuf from receiving in order to bestow, and it's dressed in the reflected light. Okay, where are we?
We're in item 14.
14, please.
The fifth reflected light is the reflected light in Malchut of the Guf, which is called Tabu. The fifth kind is the reflected light in Malchut of the Guf, called female light. This is actually illumination from the direct light, but it is a small illumination, having only the quality of reception without any power of bestowal. This is why it is called reflected light, and remember that.
Okay.
What is he thinking? PT-19?
I want to ask you something. He says this reflected light is becoming the actual vessels of the 10 sefirot of direct light. How does this reflected light created if it's clothing to and becoming true vessels?
When the guest sits at the host's place, he says, I'm not receiving anything at first. That's what he says. And then he says, oh, I have an idea. In order to cause benefit to the host, that by not receiving, I don't do him anything. As if the opposite, I disregard him. So then I now receive in order to bestow. I make a calculation of the maximum how much I can bestow, just to guard myself so that it'll be truly in order to bestow. And this calculation here, afterwards he expresses by receiving in order to bestow from the host. This means he receives in order to bestow within the partsuf, in the body.
And at the other sentence, he says, it's really nice, is this the great importance of its coarseness, like it's written in the internal light. What does it mean in the coarseness? Everything depends on the coarseness?
Everything depends on the coarseness in the screen, yes. As much as he has a desire to receive in a screen with an intention in order to bestow, so then accordingly he can bestow to the host.
Thank you.
Great. Gilad, where are you?
Item 15.
Okay.
The sixth reflected light is the one that expands from Tabu downward.
Meaning in the Sof of the Partsuf.
The sixth kind of the reflected light is all that expands from Tabu of the Guf downward. It is entirely the phase of Malchut of the Guf alone. As the first 10 sefirot, as the first 9 sefirot of the 10 sefirot that expand from the peh to the guf end at the tabu. Malchut in them occupies the entire place from tabu to the end of the partsuf. Although she is only malchut for herself, she is still regarded as expanding into 10 sefirot. This is from the perspective of the end of each and every sefira distinguished in this place.
Yes, also those parts in each and every sefira in which it received within the partsuf, from the peh to the tabur. In each and every sefira, there's also a part in which it cannot receive. And these parts, they remain below the tabur. And they basically bring us to the sof of the partsuf. So then from the 10 sefirot of the rosh, there is a division to the 10 sefirot of the toch, within which these parts get revealed, fulfilled in each and every sefira, and the 10 sefirot of the sof, in which they cannot get fulfilled.
Yeah.
Meaning, within them there's only the reflected light, as opposed to in the tenth sefirot of the Toch, there is the dressing of the direct light over the reflected light. Are we in 16? Wait, we have Kiev 3.
Спасибо. Скажите, пожалуйста, а
какая
внутреннего света, если он входит внутрь?
What is the function of the internal light if it enters into the Pratsuf? And this is reception in order to bestow. So the light doesn't need to emerge somewhere?
No, or why? I received it in order to bestow, and what remains in me is the measure and form of my bestowal to the Creator. And by this, the Creator and I become as one, meaning within my will to receive, which is from the Peh to the Siyum Raglin of my Neshama. In this, I already have a part that is in somewhat, that is somewhat similar to the Creator. This is the Toch of my Neshama, of my Partsuf. And it gets fulfilled with the upper light, with the Creator, in a certain form, certain measure, and this remains. In this part, the Creator and I become as one in adhesion. Where does it happen? In the created being. And also within the Creator, that in that there we are together. Is that clear?
Ну, приблизительно понятно. А может, как-то можно на примере гостей и хозяина?
Well, more or less, but maybe we can, on the example of the host and guest, explain what it means that the light remains in the parts. If that's not clear, if I need to somehow bestow it, I don't understand it.
No, I'm not giving anything. I have nothing to return to the Creator except the intention that what I am eating as a guest, it's all for the benefit of the host. And by this, the host, and in this way, the host enjoys.
But I eat with this and it's tasty for me?
Of course.
And it holds me and...
How can you answer to the host if you don't eat and if you don't enjoy the food, specifically by enjoying and eating? By this, you please the host. Think about it. We spoke a lot about this.
Hadera 1.
Thank you.
Hadera 1.
When the surrounding light presses the tabur, then Malchut develops the ten sefirot, and she seemingly has a partzuf with the Rosh Toch Sof, and then...
No. When the surrounding light presses on the tabur to enter into the siyum of the partzuf, and then by this... In this, it does not enter further, just pressures. Malchut stands up and
Kiev 1
rejects it.
Dear Rav, to continue Artyom's question, in essence, according to the law of energy preservance, it has to be circulating between the created being and the Creator. So why actually does Malchut need to swallow this energy?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Swallow it, not to swallow it. It's these are materialistic stories. We are not materialists.
Question, you're saying that the creature needs to come to adhesion for the qualities that it receives from the Creator. It has to come to dvikut with him, and then what?
In the intentions. All in all, the spiritual action, as a result, comes out the intention, I to my beloved and my beloved to me. That's it. Don't start to think here about corporeal phenomena. There's no such thing. Your friend again wants to ask. Okay, Kiev 3.
Спасибо большое. Вот в практической работе.
Thank you very much.
Rav,
practically in our work daily, is it possible to call what the Creator, what the host calls, facing a new course? Is that some kind of other thing? Is there some kind of coercion from the friends here?
No. I don't want to hear these things at all. We still haven't reached these things. You're already speaking about the next Partsuf, which was born out of the previous one. Wait, it's not simple. You see how many details we have here in the first Partsuf, which we still haven't even reached. So don't run ahead. This is a part that we don't want to run through. Okay? PT-24.
About this division of the first nine above Tabur and Malchut below the Tabur. Many times he writes it that way, and other times he writes that it's only Chagat above the Tabur and Nehi below the Tabur. How do these two things settle?
Settles, and then there's another division. There's a lot of such divisions. Depends what we're talking about. Don't worry, we'll talk about this. And it's very good. I'm happy that you see something in this. So we'll leave these things for now, and... Oh, we have info. Please.
Yes, hello friends. We want to already prepare towards the schedule during the holidays of Tishrei in Israel and the world, which we already marked these things on the calendar. So let's start with Sunday, the 25th of September. We're going to celebrate Rosh Hashanah Eve. It will be from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Israel time in a community meal. And of course, this will be broadcasted as well. Friday, the week after that, actually, on that same week, Friday, we will have the Rabbah Shiur site. We'll have a daily Kabbalah lesson at the center and also a hummus meal.
Can you say the date?
The 30th of September, yes. 25th of September, we're at Rosh Hashanah Eve. 30th of September, we're marking the Rabbah Shiur site also as a physical lesson at the center, and then we're continuing with the hummus meal. On Tuesday and Wednesday, it's Yom Kippur in Israel, the Day of Atonement, and we will open our center here in Petah Tikva for prayers. All the information, of course, will be sent to everyone after the report. On Friday, after that, we will be marking Bala Sulam's Yortzeit with a lesson also physically at the center and a hummus meal. On Sunday, October 9th, it is Sukkot Eve. We're going to have a community meal just like we had in Rosh Hashanah. We will also do the Eve of Sukkot between 3 to 4 p.m., a community meal that will be broadcasted to the whole world, of course. On Thursday, during the week of Sukkot, we will have a unity evening. Please note, on the 13th of October, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Israel time, there will be whoever wants to come here to the center in Petah Tikva, and of course, whoever's connected around the world. And on Friday, after that, on the 14th of October, we'll have a virtual lesson. We will not be gathering here in the center because we will probably end the unity evening later on that night. So we will do the lesson on Friday as a virtual one. This is just an initial draft of the schedule. Of course, we will send updates in the future. That's it.
Just want to add that we'll be happy to operate our center as much as possible. And if you have some ideas on additional activities that we can do here for men, women, children, and in general for everyone together, so please send your ideas, send them in, and we'll be happy to hear them. I'm very interested, after these 2 or maybe even 3 years of Corona, that we can return to the center. Good luck. All the best. Yes, Gilad?
Thank you, Rav. We are with the schedule for today. Today, from 10 to 11 a.m. Israel time, in a recorded content lesson with Rav Leitman, and from 12 to 1 Israel time, the afternoon lesson. And we'll conclude with a song.
Verdadeiros amigos, essa oportunidade, corações derretidos e juntos, sentimento bom dentro e profundo.
La ciência sentir, a união e o amor, descobrir o bem entre nós e juntos como hermanos vivir.
Oleo, oleo, juntos a bailar, cantar e estudar, la união é a felicidade. Oleo, en plena unidad, la vida a celebrar, festejando así el carnaval.
חיים, יהיה לנו פה קרנבל.